Mr. Sakti and Desipat?
Mr. Speaker, may I have your permission to answer questions 5 to 11 in today's order paper together?
Please proceed.
Thank you. My reply will also cover question 4 for a written answer filed by Mr. Ng Su-Shien for today's sitting. Mr. Speaker, recent media reports have compared the performance of GIC and Temasek with that of other funds, including other sovereign wealth funds. Such comparisons are often done, but they should be interpreted in their proper context because different funds operate under different mandates and risk profiles. The government assesses GIC and Temasek's performance primarily against their respective mandates and risk profiles and not with other funds. Our focus has always been on long-term performance rather than on short-term or year-to-year fluctuations. GIC is the government's fund manager, and its mandate is to preserve and enhance the international purchasing power of the assets under its management. In recent years, GIC took preemptive measures to moderate its risk exposure in anticipation of increased market volatility and heightened valuations. And these measures were intended to keep portfolio risks within acceptable limits and to guard against the possibility of significant asset impairment in the event of a sharp market correction. But as equity markets have continued to remain elevated, these prudent de-risking measures resulted in some foregone returns. Any assessment of returns must therefore be considered alongside the risks that are taken to achieve them, a point that Associate Professor James Lim made when he referred to the Sharpe ratio in his PQ. GIC monitors a wide range of risk indicators, including and beyond the Sharpe ratio. In fact, GIC publishes both the returns and the volatility or the risks associated with its portfolio in its annual reports to provide a more complete picture. Ultimately, what's more important is the longer-term performance that's achieved within acceptable risk limits. On that basis, GIC has achieved a real return of 3.8% per annum over the past 20 years. This outcome reflects in part GIC's active management, which enabled it to consistently add value to portfolio returns, to preserve the international purchasing power of its assets under management, and to deliver returns above global inflation. Temasek began as a holding company for the government's local assets. While Singapore-based Temasek portfolio companies continue to form a core part of its total portfolio, Temasek has progressively expanded its direct equity investments overseas, initially in Asia, but more recently in global markets. Temasek operates mainly as an active, bottom-up investor. It does not operate against a conventional reference portfolio. Instead, it invests directly in companies in the geographies and in the domains where it has built deeper capabilities and where it sees long-term growth potential. Relative to GIC, Temasek therefore operates at the higher end of the risk spectrum. In recent years, Temasek's performance was affected by the performance of the Chinese market, although this was mitigated by higher returns from its growing investments in Europe and in the US. Nonetheless, over the last 20-year period, Temasek has reported a total shareholder return of 8% per annum in US dollar terms. Taken as a whole, the government's assessment is that the returns generated by GIC and Temasek are reasonable and within expectations, given their mandates and their risk profiles. We will continue to review their mandates and performance regularly in line with changes in the global economic investment landscape. Some members asked about the implications of our investment entity's recent performance on the sustainability of the net investment returns contribution and the government's ability to meet our CPF liabilities. As explained in this House previously, the net investment return framework was designed to ensure a steady and sustainable stream of income for the annual budget. The NIRC is thus derived from the expected long-term real rate of return which the reserves can sustain, and not short-term market fluctuations or returns. The government is able to meet all debt servicing costs and obligations, including the committed CPF rates through the special Singapore government securities. GIC does not just manage the SSGS or CPF monies on their own, but it manages a combined pool of government funds, including a significant sum of unencumbered assets. And this approach allows the GIC to invest for the long term and to secure good long-term returns. As investment markets are uncertain and volatile, GIC's returns over shorter periods could be low or even negative. But the government is able to absorb these short-term market fluctuations and risks because it has a strong balance sheet. This substantial buffer of net assets, rather, enables the government to meet the obligations on its liabilities and continues to underpin the government's strong fiscal position. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Saktiandi Supa.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have two SQs. First of all, I'd like to declare I'm an employee of a financial institution. Mr. Speaker, the income from reserves play an important role in the government's revenue, but the environment, as Minister SMS has mentioned, the environment has become more volatile. I think SMS has mentioned also global markets have become more volatile. But and the previous PQ, we've actually discussed about expenditure on healthcare and others being more demanding. So my two questions, Mr. Speaker, two SQs is, first, how will the ministry sort of model the impact of a prolonged global risk-off cycle on sovereign investment returns and the resulting implications for the budget stability and social spending sustainability? My second SQ is whether the government plans to enhance long-term public reporting on portfolio risk. I think Minister mentioned that there will be the Sharpe ratio and others as well. But I think in terms of public reporting on portfolio risk, volatility and drawdowns for Singapore's foreign investment entities to strengthen public confidence as reliance on investment income sort of increases. Thank you.
SMS here.
Mr. Speaker, I thank the Honourable Member for his supplementary questions. The government's approach on assessing the returns of our investment entities is to take a long-term view. Market outcomes will inevitably fluctuate from year to year. There will be periods where returns are weak. But the way our system works is that these are not directly linked to our NIRC, the Net Investment Returns Contribution. The government's strong balance sheet, as I explained earlier in my reply, enables it to take investment risks and ride out market cycles that are inherent in investing for the long term. We have a significant buffer of net assets, which enables the government to guarantee CPF savings, pay fair interest rates on CPF savings despite changes in the financial cycle. And this is also why we are able to have a significant stream of investment income through the NIRC, which is then used to spend or meet important spending priorities as we discussed earlier. The net investment returns taken into the government budget every year is based on the long-term expected returns of the investment entities, not on the year-to-year returns, which can fluctuate. And in addition, the asset base that's used to calculate the NIRC is smoothed over the long term. So the impact of a single year or even a few years' worth of lower returns will take time to be passed through to the NIRC due to the smoothing of the asset base. Notwithstanding all this, we recognize that it's becoming structurally more difficult or more challenging to generate good investment returns in the current global environment. And this trend is likely to persist in the longer term. and hence the government will indeed have to monitor this and take a prudent approach to ensure that our investment income is able to meet our spending and our long-term obligations. On the Honourable Member's question on whether or not the government intends to enhance long-term public reporting, I think the investment entities already provide quite a good amount of public information on their investment approach and on their returns, and this can be found in their annual reports, their regular press releases, and occasionally in their opinion and research pieces which they put out. GIC discloses their 5, 10, and 20-year returns, but we have spoken in this House before about how we do not disclose their total assets under management because we do not want to encourage speculative attacks on the Singapore dollar. Temasek, as a direct investor, releases even more information. They talk about total portfolio value, its investment approach, the domains and the geographical areas where they are investing. And I would encourage members as well as the members of the public to look at the information that they put online. Over time, GIC and Temasek have disclosed more information, and we will continue to encourage them to review if there are other meaningful disclosures to make. And our principle is that what the entities enclose or disclose should be part of an overall system that enables them to maximize their ability to generate long-term returns. Thank you.
Associate Professor Jameson.
Thank you, Speaker. I have two supplementary questions, one on GIC and the other on Temasek. I understand that GIC has publicly stated that it does not regard its 65-35 global equity bond reference portfolio as a benchmark, but rather as an expression of risk tolerance. Now, GIC has also publicly stated that it has attained lower returns, but with lower volatility. For me, taken together, that suggests that GIC has either taken less risk than what its reference portfolio would suggest, or that it has returned less than what might be expected given its risk profile. So my question is whether the ministry plans to undertake any steps to address the lower returns received by GIC relative to its reference portfolio, or if it is indeed satisfied with this more conservative approach, why does it not request GIC to adopt a different reference portfolio with lower risk? My second question is on Temasek, and I note the Minister's response on how its mandate is to focus more on a risk-adjusted, more to focus on companies rather than indexes. Nevertheless, I wonder if the Minister will be able to share how Temasek has performed on a risk-adjusted basis relative to the other sovereign wealth fund GIC, and if indeed it is taking on such concentrated risk, I also wonder if there's room to reconsider its geographical diversification strategy adopted in the early 2000s and return to a more domestically oriented mandate.
Is it Monsieur?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As I mentioned in my reply earlier, the government assesses the returns of our investment entities based on their mandate and risk profile. GIC has achieved a real return of 3.8% per annum over the past 20 years, which is within the government's expectations, given the risk profile that we have given. The member referred to the 65-35 reference portfolio, which is on the GIC website. That is not a returns benchmark, but it's an expression of our risk tolerance and the risk profile we would like GIC to take. Ultimately, the government assesses GIC's performance based primarily on whether it has met this mandate. There will be periods where GIC takes less risk than the reference portfolio. And as I mentioned in my earlier reply, GIC did preemptively decide to de-risk in periods which had resulted in foregone returns. At the same time, GIC's returns were much less volatile in the same time frame, and in fact have outperformed the reference portfolio on a risk-adjusted basis, given that it has achieved higher returns per unit of volatility. Should GIC not have de-risked and ridden through the drawdowns, I think that's a matter of judgment. While one can ride through market cycles, there have also been instances where the stocks or the assets are permanently impaired. And because the mandate of GIC, it has to balance with the need to preserve our capital assets, I think that is a judgment that they have taken. And on hindsight, we can always make all sorts of assertions, but they have taken that decision to de-risk and preserve our capital and still be able to make the returns that we expect of them. Ultimately, every investment fund must operate, I think, according to its own mandate and risk appetite. We expect GIC to construct its portfolios to both safeguard our assets and to also achieve our returns. And this, the approach that they have taken has helped them build a diversified portfolio that is resilient to market cycles and volatility while achieving good risk-adjusted returns. On the Honourable Member's second question on how to assess the Temasek's performance, as I mentioned earlier, Temasek is different from GIC. It is a bottoms-up active investor. It has a history of how it has gotten to where it is today. It started off as a holding company for Singapore Temasek-linked portfolio companies. Over time, it has broadened its mandate or broadened its coverage to include investments globally. And it has, in the process of doing so, tried to give a sense of how it's performing on these areas. And on its website, it has referred to a few international indexes, whether it's the MSCI World Index or the Singapore Stock Market Index when it comes to measuring the performance of the local companies. And I think these are possible ways of seeing how they are performing. We do not intervene in individual investment decisions that are made by Temasek. So whether or not which geographies they choose to go into and which areas that they or which domains they prefer to invest in, these are things we leave to the management. The government works with the board to make sure that Temasek meets the mandate that we've set out for them, and we do not want to have to intervene in these decisions that they make on individual investments. Thank you.
Mr. Sean Lowe.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and a Happy New Year to all parliamentary colleagues, including our NMP colleagues. With regards to the SMS's reply, I fully agree and accept that global rankings of investment returns are not helpful because they don't take into account the unique investment mandates and the unique context that each country's investment entity invests in. Our investment entities should have clear benchmarks and should take into account our unique context, including, as the SMS mentioned, that one-fifth of our national budget is from the returns on our investments, and the government has an obligation to pay interest rates on the CPF savings. To that end, I have two questions. The first question is, when should we worry? I note the SMS's reply, but when should we worry? What level of long-term investment returns should be the threshold which triggers a government review of the NIRC framework to look at its sustainability based on new structural trends in the global investment climate? And the second question is regards to the fact that GIC and Temasek are active managers that have illiquid portfolios. We should expect better returns from active investment managers as well as a premium from illiquidity. How is the government convinced that the active investment approach taken by GIC and Temasek is giving the alpha that Singaporeans deserve on the reserves and on their CPF savings? Thank you.
Yes, I miss you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thank the Honourable Member for his question. I agree with the honourable member that we should recognise that it's become more challenging to generate good investment returns in the current global environment, and that this trend is likely to persist in the longer term. And that's why the government will continue to take a prudent approach in ensuring that our investment income is able to meet our long-term obligations. But as explained earlier, the basis for why we are able to do the things that we are doing today is not because of year-to-year fluctuations in terms of market performance. In fact, the system is structured such that we are able to ride out some of these year-to-year fluctuations, even periods of sustained global underperformance in markets, because we have a large asset base and because we are able to take a long-term view of our investment returns. And so, in that sense, I think we have to continue to make sure that the mandates of the investment entities continue to be met, that they understand that they are doing this for the longer term and they are able to take strategies and to take the right decisions to ensure that the returns over the longer term are indeed sustainable. As to whether we should be concerned over whether the GIC and our investment entities are making alpha, I think it is it's quite understandable that we look at how potentially the investment entities' performance are benchmarked towards, say, for example, simple passive global benchmarks. It's, when we don't have investment expertise or don't have time to make investments, the most common investment advice is just leave it to the market. We decide and buy an index fund, let them what to do. But that's not what we are doing, because GIC here is the government's fund manager. They are professionals. They have a large pool of assets that range from passive assets to assets that require them to take closer monitoring and to make sure that those assets continue to generate high returns, and they have to make active decisions to manage them. And overall, the GIC team has been doing so over the years, and their track record, given the mandate they've been given, demonstrates that they are able to do so. And they have taken the decision, as we talked about, to de-risk during periods of distress, during COVID, for instance, in the recent years. And if they had not done so, our asset base could have been permanently impaired, as meant other similar funds or other similar, or rather not similar, other funds would have experienced during this period. So I think we have to leave the professionals to do the work that they do. The government works with the GIC board to make sure that the mandate continues to be met, that given the risk profile of what we want them to do, to take a more conservative approach to preserve our capital base. And we think they have met the expectations in this regard. Thank you.
Mr. Liang Ying-Hua.
Thank you, sir. Let me first declare my interest that I work in an entity significantly owned by Temasek. That's two questions for the acting minister. Firstly, we know that Temasek and GIC do compete with the fast-growing global sovereign wealth funds, the global funds such as the pension funds, the wealth houses, and so on, chasing for limited good investment grade targets, which may ultimately impact the returns because there's competition for all this investment. So can I ask the acting minister whether does MOF see investing more of our reserve into the local infrastructures that comes with commercial returns as another way to deploy our growing reserves? My second question is related to what the acting minister has said in his reply on Temasek. There's two parts of the portfolio. One is the local companies that they hold. For strategic reasons, we want to hold these companies. And the other one is the international portfolios, which actually come with different management, investment management skills, and as such, will require different, and we will have to assess them for their different performance. For example, the holding companies the strategic companies that we hold, like SIA or PSA and so on, we won't expect Temasek to actively trade this portfolio or choose levels to buy and sell. Whereas the international portfolio, yes, there's some investment decisions to be made there and how they judge the market, how they perform, you know, we want to assess that. So can I ask the acting minister whether would, in terms of evaluating the performance of Temasek, would the ministry consider carving out that local portfolio where we hold for strategic reasons to measure the performance separately from those that are being the portfolio that is invested internationally? Thank you.
SMSL.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The honourable member asked two questions. The number one, I think, is on whether or not, given the competition with global funds, whether Temasek or GIC to take a different focus and to focus on investment in local infrastructure. I think that was the first question. And the second question was whether or not, given that it has a cluster in terms of local Singapore companies, whether we should evaluate the performance differently. I think in gist, those are the two questions. On the first question, I think we do not work on the basis of individual investment decisions. I think we want to basically structure, I think, how we how the relationship between the government and our investment entities, structure them at the broad level, at the mandate level, to enable them to fulfill this mandate of essentially achieving sustainable returns, preserving our asset base, while giving them, as commercial entities, the freedom to do the things that they need to do. And so insofar as requiring them to have a specific sort of investment focus or to invest locally, I think that's something as entities they need to decide and in light of the mandate that we have given them to see whether that's the most sort of preferred strategy. So we will not direct it personally but we would leave them to make those decisions. As to whether or not we should carve them out separately to have a separate entity and evaluate the performance of the part of Temasek that looks after our Temasek portfolio companies. I think we have to take this in context of how Temasek has evolved its capabilities over time. As the honourable member said, it started off as a company, deep expertise in managing our local TPCs. Over time, it has is moving towards becoming more of a global investor with more geographical diversification, and thus this also requires Temasek to build up its own capabilities, just as it had built up its capabilities managing the portfolio of Temasek companies. And I think it is a matter of judgment for them to do this. As long as they achieve the mandate that we've given to them, overall, looking at the total portfolio of Temasek's assets, I think as long as it can generate sustainable returns as a portfolio, I think that will be a good outcome. Bearing in mind also that there is synergies between the different portfolios in managing the local Temasek-linked companies, there are benefits to having a global outlook on matters, having some global expertise and domain expertise in different areas, which I think Temasek is very focused on trying to generate as a result of their investment disposition. Thank you.
Okay, last SQ, Mr. Fadli Fauzi.
Thank you, Speaker. Firstly, can the Minister clarify whether the difference between GIC's investment returns and the SSGS interest payments made by the government to the CPF board goes directly to the reserves? My second question is, how does the government intend to act under a scenario where GIC's returns consistently underperform SSGS interest rates? Would it then be sustainable for the government to continue maintaining the current SSGS interest rates? Thank you.
SMSL.
Give me a second. Mr. Speaker, I think I will go back to explaining how the basic features of the system work. The government has a strong balance sheet. This enables us to take investment risks and to ride out the market cycles that are inherent in investing for the longer term. We have a significant buffer of net assets, which enable the government to guarantee CPF savings and to pay fair interest rates on CPF savings despite market cycles. And the way this is done is insulates the CPF returns and the interest rates from the vagaries of the market. I've explained this, I think, before, and I think we don't have to go through the whole process again. And I think a member has asked a question on this previously as well, and we can refer to the answer there. Thank you.